pray for a moment that our hearts and our ears will be open to hearing God's Word. Lord, we just want to absorb what You have to say to us today. Hear. Let us hear, Lord, and move in our hearts, move in our spirit, so that it's not just words on a page or words tickling our eardrums, but Lord, somehow Your Spirit get inside of us today to move us through this Word of God into a deeper, more passionate living with You. In Jesus' name, amen. This message today is about integrity. It's about walking the walk, talking the talk, about being sold out for Jesus, not just when you're in church meeting, but at work, at home, in your thought life, on your computer, every aspect of our lives to have integrity before God. And James 1, verse 19, has this title on top of it. It says, Listening and Doing. And let's read together. Well, I don't mean together. You can read. I'll read it. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. And if we wanted like a catchphrase of what this whole sermon is about, it's do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they are blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Bill Hybels is a pastor of a large church in Chicago, and he told the story of a young man who came to him after a sermon and congratulated him profusely on how on the money the message was and how powerful the message was and how he's just telling it to him straight and way to give it to us, preacher. That's just great. And he was just kind of taken aback because his sermon was about marriage fidelity and this guy was living with his girlfriend. And yet he was all excited about the message. And that is a good illustration of kind of a divorce that can happen sometimes between our head and our hearts. Between knowing the Word of God and doing the Word of God, there can be a great divorce, a great divide in our lives. And that's why I say this is a message about integrity. Not only just listening to the Word, but doing it. Verse 22 is the heart and summary of this scripture when it says, don't just listen and deceive yourselves, do it. But that's hard sometimes, just doing it. It's harder than we think. I think we have a pretty good idea of what the Lord requires of us. We can certainly see that in a read of Scripture, but it doesn't always follow through. I remember one of my first meetings as an intern. This was the first meeting after the senior pastor had left and I had become senior pastor. And we had a meeting in my first church, so it's the first meeting that I'm kind of the pastor of the church. And I remember some argument came up. It was about the vision of the church. Where should we go? After 20 years of this church being in this, it was basically a white church in a black community, and now this pastor who had been there for 18 years left, and I'm in charge, right? And as soon as he leaves, the question is, should we stay here or shall we move to another community? Should we be a white church in a black community? Should we continue our goal of trying to reach this community, which they had called me there to do? And I just became so angry. And it was very ungodly. It was embarrassing, one of those things you look back on and you say, this was doggone embarrassing. What kind of leader is that? And I had to apologize to people in the parking lot later. Even though, we were passionate about things, I lost my cool. Verse 19 says, "Dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. For a man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God deserves." I read those words. I knew those words. But it didn't stop me from becoming the very opposite of that. And I ruined a witness with my own elders and deacons. And I spent a lot of coin right there, and I had to work to get that trust back. So the point of the illustration is simply this. We can see God's Word, we can know what it says, but that doesn't mean we're always good at following through with it. I think we all struggle with obedience. Jim Detmer was a small groups guru that I heard maybe 25 years ago at a church conference, and I remember the phrase that he gave us. We are educated way beyond our obedience. And I love that. We know way more than what we follow through with. We are Christians who are like seminary graduates compared to the world. We know more about the Bible, we know more about Jesus, we know more about right living than almost anybody on the street. So our knowledge isn't the problem. It's our obedience. So James' point this morning is that he wants us to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. And I'm going to be looking at a couple of things first that can ruin our walk in this passage that it points out. But before we go there, not sure how this fits in, but Lord, just take it, because I know this is what he wanted me to do. I wanted to tell you about a youth group meeting about a month ago where we were studying the book of Mark, and we looked at where Jesus called the disciples, and he just saw them out there in the boat, and he said to them, "Come follow me." And we asked the youth, why would they get out of the boat? Why would someone who's there doing their profession get out of the boat and go follow Jesus? And someone, I think it was Javi, came up with the idea of curiosity. They were curious about this Jesus. And when we pressed a little further and said, well, why did they get out of that boat? Why did they follow Jesus? They started to come up with things like, well, they were looking for the meaning of life. They were looking for answers. They were curious about this Jesus who was saying, I'm worthy of being followed. Yeah, they put down their nets and they followed. But we also discovered that being a follower of Jesus at that point simply meant to have enough disciple in you to pick up and walk and go to the next place and then trust Jesus enough to see what he's doing and then say, well, will I go further down the road with him? I don't think they became full-blown disciples at that moment when Jesus said, come follow me. They were curious people who wanted to say, huh, who is this Jesus? Is he worthy of following? Is he worthy of me investing my life in? I've got these questions about what makes life meaningful. Does he have those answers? I'll come and see. And that's the journey we're on in youth group, is to develop as followers of Jesus Christ. But that lesson probably impacted me more than it did any of the youth. Since that time, my devotional life has sort of taken a new joy in it. And I sit down in the morning and I just want to approach Jesus with a freshness that says, Jesus, I want to just meet with you. I'm not studying for anything. I just want to be with you. I just want to hear your voice in my life. And I want to know who you are. Because the thing is, a lot of what we're going to talk about today is receiving God's Word into our lives. And it's kind of like well, what was the message about today? I don't know, read the Bible more. Well, that's a good thing, but I'm sorry, it's not very exciting. But what is exciting is to hear God's voice in our lives. And what is exciting is when His Spirit grabs a hold of us and we start to obey Him and walk with Him as a disciple. I told the young people, I can't teach you much. I think you've probably read the Gospels. I think you've probably heard every story about Jesus already. So if this is about learning more about the Gospels, if this is about reading the Bible one more time, then there's not much that we can do for you. But if this is about becoming more of a disciple of Jesus, giving more of our heart to Him, more of our life to Him, learn to follow Him with passion, then that's the journey I want to be on. It's not just me saying to the young people, or Nellie or Jewel saying, hey, we'll show you how to do it. We're on that journey too. And so put this message in that context. Here's some things that can really mess up our walk. In James chapter 1, verse 19 to 21, he's pointing out some walk wreckers, things that are just going to throw our game off. First, he says, I want you to have, if you have a closed ear, then your game is going to be, your walk is going to be messed up. If you're not listening, if your ear is closed, he says, let everyone be quick to listen. Now, to be quick to listen, for any of you who have any close relationship in your life, whether that's a spouse or a good friend, what does it mean to be quick to listen? If you're really engaging in some life issue with them, and all they do is talk over you, and there's no listen, or if all you can do is talk, 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 and you can never hear, be quick to listen. Isn't that a great thing? I mean, there's that old saying, God gave us two ears and one mouth for a reason. Be quick to listen. He says we need to have an open ear. One of the reasons we stay divorced from the truth of God is that we can't hear what it says because we become distracted, we become hard of hearing, and we need to open up our ears. Jesus constantly rebuked the Pharisees with a stinging question. He said, have you not heard? Have you not heard? Why, of course they'd heard. The Pharisees knew God's law backwards and forwards, but they didn't listen to the message in that law of God. When couples fight, we must think that we become hard of hearing because we raise our voices at each other, right? But that's not helpful. Be quick to listen. Listen with understanding. And so when we come to God's Word, we do well to say, how is this speaking to me this morning? Rather than just reading off a checklist of saying, oh, I covered my passage, but to say, Lord, how are you speaking to me? Or if you're in that spot where reading the Bible just isn't encouraging you that much, then I'd encourage you to just take a walk and be open to the Spirit of God as He shows you His beauty all around Him. And be quick to listen, to drink it in, to soak it in, and say, oh God, you're great. And by the end of doing that exercise, you've moved your heart from a hard place to a soft place. This week, coming out of Hagen's early in the morning after an iron sharpens iron meeting, I looked and saw one of the most beautiful sunrises I've ever seen. And I just took a pause in the parking lot, took a picture of it, and just said, wow, God, that is magnificent. That's all I'm talking about. Just open your ears and your eyes to God's magnificence. We live in a world full of distractions. Full of distractions. We have a hard time getting rid of our cell phones for a half hour, don't we? And even, I bet, in here, if we had a show of hands, how many have looked at their cell phone since worship began this morning? You know? Shame. Are you ahead? Are you ahead? You haven't looked at football. All right, we'll give you that. We have a hard time because our lives are full of distractions, aren't they? A second step that can ruin our walk is our tongue. A tongue that's out of control. A tongue that is loose. Verse 19 says, "For reason, let everyone be slow to speak." My grandfather was that way, I hear. He was the sort of man who would sit in a council meeting and the issue might heat up around him and he wouldn't say a word until the discussion had kind of come too close to being at that point of a vote, and then the heads would kind of turn to my grandfather and he would say what he thought. He was slow to speak. He was a measured, quiet man. And he really modeled that. There was a young man who came to Socrates, a philosopher, and asked him if he would teach him the gift of oratory, the gift of speech. And his request went on as the young man wanted to impress Socrates with how much he already had the art mastered. He could wax eloquently. And Socrates said, "Yes, young man, I will take you on as a student, but I must charge you a double fee." "Well, why is that?" He's because, "First I must teach you to listen, and then I'll teach you to speak." Verse 26 drives that point. He says, "If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless." Why is our tongue so important to our walk? An uncontrolled tongue lashes out in anger. An uncontrolled tongue tears others down. An uncontrolled tongue swears and tells jokes and coarse humor. And what happens to our witness? Simply because we let our tongue run. So learning to control our tongue is one of the ways we can ruin our walk. And God says, control your tongue. Another way our walk could be ruined is in verse 19. It says, be slow to become angry. Why? Because anger brings about a righteous, anger brings about a wall. It puts a wall in the middle of us and God. If we're harboring anger, we do not have a soft heart. It's hard to penetrate an angry heart. Maybe we live with spouses who have angry hearts, and it's hard to get inside. It's hard to have those conversations where you feel you really meet heart to heart. Well, if we apply that to our relationship with God, if we are just secretly angry with God, if we just think we would do a better job of being God than He does, which is really kind of what anger is, isn't it? If we're angry with God, we're basically saying, "God, if I were God, I'd do a much better job than you do. I wouldn't allow all this stuff to be happening that you're allowing to happen. I wouldn't go down these roads that you allow us to go down, God, if I were God." And so we're angry with God because we put ourselves in God's place. And that's a kind of a hard place to start a conversation, isn't it? So he says, get rid of the anger. Another walk destroyer is, he says, live the truth by having a clean heart. If you have an impure heart, verse 21 says, what we must do to achieve a clean heart, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. The word moral filth literally means wax in the ear. So if we said that, get rid of all the wax in your ears. Because moral filth builds up crud in our ability to hear God. Get rid of the sin in your life that's making you deaf to God. When we have consistent sin in our lives, it puts up huge walls. And we can break those walls down with confession, and God still breaks through, but we get in that sin-shame cycle, and it's terribly, terribly difficult. So for anyone who's struggling with repetitive sin, I encourage you to come speak with one of our small groups that's maybe dealing with the change group material, because it's dealing with those very things. How do we get rid of those binds where we're doing the things that we do not want to do? And the good things that we want to do, that's not what we end up doing. Well, that's common to the Christian walk. We come from morally broken places. So it's not a terrible thing. Well, maybe it is. I don't know. It's not unusual for us to get caught with one foot in the dirt. Say, now look, if you want to get unstuck, we can help you do that. The power of the Lord Jesus Christ can do that. The power of group can do that. And there's some internal things going on in you that probably have a hold of you, so that the thing you're struggling with is probably not the thing that's causing your struggle. There's belief systems underneath there, beliefs about yourself, beliefs that fall short of the image of God, what He has for you. And so you can deal with those things and work through those things and come out to a better place of living and say, I want to get rid of that moral filth. I want to get rid of those things that are building up wax in the ears. I don't want to continue in this cycle of sin and shame and guilt. So then we move to a second section. It says, after we get rid of these things that ruin the walk, how do we receive the truth? And this is very simple. How do we receive the truth of God? We read His Word. We spend time with Him. So I want to just have everyone do a quick mental check. To make it real, we're going to think back at last week, the last 7 days. How many times did you encounter the Word of God in the last 7 days? Have you, in the last 7 days, taken time to read the Today magazine and the passage that it's referring to? Have you taken time to sit with God and His Word? Have you had a devotion of any sort where you said, I just want to be fed by God's Word and His Spirit? And I'm not saying this to make us feel guilty, but one of the key habits of a Christian is to say, Jesus, I want to know You. And to know You, I want to be with You. I want to hear Your voice. I want to be curious about what You want to speak into my life. So, iron sharpens iron is a great way. Precepts Bible study, family devotions, personal devotions. There are just all kinds of ways that you can say, I want to open up to God's Word. I want to receive this Word. And now, a word about that. When we go into a devotional pattern, I want you to do a mental exercise. Just like when you open the door, you say to someone, come in, right? I want you to think what it feels like when you're greeted at the door and someone greets you, opens the door, doesn't say come in, and just walks back into the house. And you think, well, am I supposed to come in or not? Right? Sometimes I think our devotions are kind of like that. That we go in and we say, time to do devotions. Okay, did devotions. But what if we thought about this time of devotions as saying, Jesus is coming into my house. The Holy Spirit's coming into my house. I'm going to open the door and I'm going to say, wow, I'm going to spend time with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to spend time with God and His Word, and I'm going to allow this great teacher in. And I have the opportunity to sit with this great teacher who's going to speak into my life. And so, come on in. I'm so glad you're here. Come sit with me at the table. Let me put aside the morning paper. Let me turn off the radio. Let me turn off the news. Let me turn off my phone. And I just want to concentrate on You because I'm being visited with this great teacher, the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God. And we're going to spend time together. That's preparing ourselves to hear. That's receiving the truth. And it's taking it, I think, preparing our hearts so that we're ready to walk with God and receive from Him. So I asked you, have you read lately? But now let me ask you, how about the next 7 days? What can you do to say, I want to build something in my life where I have a passionate time with God? Not just checking something off so that I feel like I've done my Christian duty, but actually having time with God to work into your life and into your heart. And I just want to encourage everyone. I wonder, those of you who are 18 and younger, let's just say the teenage years, how many of you have a devotional pattern where you say, I spend time with the Word? You don't have to answer that. I'm just asking. Where you actually spend time with the Word of God. Now, I'd encourage you to take out your Bible last thing and read a chapter a day before you close your eyes. End your day with God's Word. Pray and fall asleep. It's a beautiful practice. Or maybe you're a morning person, but somewhere, where are you going to build in God's Word into your life? Because these habits are so critical to form. So receive that Word, prepare yourself for it, and then verse 22 says, don't just listen to it, do it. And then James says, look, if you're a person who just reads the Word and then forgets about it, you read about God's law and you forget about it, you read about putting on the Spirit and then you go walk in the flesh, if you're like that, if you simply get up from the Word of God and you forget what you just read, you're like a man who looks in the mirror and then forgets what you look like, you have to go back and say, well, what did I look like? So read the Word, let it absorb into your heart and follow it. And he says, look, if you look intently into the perfect law of God, then that law brings us to freedom. And we'll be blessed in doing it. The law brings freedom. Let me just say a word about that. How in the world does the law bring freedom? I just ask you, would you be more free as you drive home today if you could just go on any side of the street? Doesn't that make you more free? Why be so constricted by these traffic laws? Why not just drive wherever you want? You'd be more free, wouldn't you? But freedom comes from following the law, driving on the correct side of the street. Why be more free if I didn't have to stop at these red lights? Or let's imagine that you were a goldfish. You said, man, I'd be a lot more free if I didn't have the confines of this aquarium. I'm going to go jump out of there so I can be free. And so you jump out and you flop around on the ground and you breathe the pure oxygen for about a minute and then you get flushed down the toilet when your owner finds you. You're not more free. When we follow God's law, freedom comes. And he's saying, gaze intently into God's Word. Hear His heart. Follow His law. And that's where true freedom comes. And then he ends with a very powerful message. He says, anyone who considers himself religious and does not keep a light rein on his tongue deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this. Look after orphans, widows in their distress and keep oneself from being polluted in the world. Or even James just saying, do it. Look into God's law and do it. Care for others. Put my grace into action. Put my love into action. Yes, feed the poor. Take care of widows. Take care of orphans. Take care of those who are disadvantaged. Control your tongue. But do it. And so, people of God, just encourage you to take a look at this. Are there ways in which your walk is being compromised because of some of the things we talked about early in the passage? Is your heart open to receiving the Word of God in your life? And are you open to obeying the promptings of the Spirit and just do it? Let's pray. Lord, we ask for your Spirit to bring conviction to us wherever we need it. And if our patterns have become slovenly and Lord, we've fallen away from spending time with you, if we think we know it all and therefore we don't have to spend time with you anymore, Father, just forgive us for that and compel us, draw us to a deeper relationship with you. Father, may we have greater obedience in our lives. Father, if there is any of those ways in which we're wrecking our walk because we're not listening or we're not hearing or anger rules in our heart, then Father, bring conviction to us so that we can bring your Spirit and your grace in our living. Father, in all of these things, we simply want to be followers of you. We want to love you, serve you, and be obedient to you. To you be the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.